Good morning. Let me welcome you to Northwood Presbyterian Church. This morning, we are live streaming our Presbyterian Women's Bible study that's entitled Into the Light, Finding Hope Through Prayers of Lament. I would remind the women, even in our church, we're allowed up to 10 in the sanctuary. This is actually the first time we've not had anyone. Oh, I see some people coming in now. But we're allowed up to 10 folks to come and be a part of the live streaming. And so when you do come in, I invite you to sit and just wear your mask and be 6 feet apart from the others when you do come. If you come next month on Maundy Thursday, April the 1st will be our next session. I would also say to you, while I mentioned we can have up to 10, we are coming close to that time. We can see it on the horizon when we do have in-person worship coming. We are looking, as a commission, the session has set up to have a positivity rate of around 5% in Pinellas, Hillsborough, and Polk counties. As I saw in the newspaper today, the positivity rate in Hillsborough and Pasco County are at 7%, and Pinellas is just above 5%. And so we're near that target rate of 5% that needs to be consistent for several weeks before having in-person worship. And so that is our stated goal. And when that time comes, the commission will pull the string and recommend a session that we return to in-person worship. There is in the bulletin this Sunday an announcement about the outdoor Sunday services we are having at 9 a.m. on very particular dates, and so read that closely. The next date is not until Sunday, 9 a.m. on March the 14th. And there are other dates that are listed in the bulletin this Sunday that I'll announce this week as well. But we welcome you to our PW study, Finding Hope Through Prayers of Lament. Just as a quick recap, last month in Lesson 6, we looked at the theme, Lament Over the City. And the main idea of last month's study was that the destruction of a constructed environment can be the cause of lament. We considered in the lesson the people of Israel who were lamenting while they were living in the holy city of Jerusalem, a time in which it had been attacked, it had been sacked, and turned to ruins, the temple destroyed. And we reflected from that, even for us, how special places can be. Places, perhaps the towns we grew up in, the communities that we know well or even live in today. What happens in those towns, those places where we live, can greatly affect us, as well as what happens when we are not able to worship in the temple or in the church and how that can affect us. It is a cause for lament. And that's what we considered last month. Today we look at Lesson 7, and Lesson 7 is entitled Creation Laments. We will consider this morning, in the time we have, about a half hour, 20 minutes to a half hour, we will consider the ways that the creation, all of creation, groans and laments because of its being divided and because of its brokenness. And so as we begin this morning, I invite you to open your books, your Presbyterian Women's Study books, and on page 65, as we always begin, we begin with the prayer that is offered by the author. I'll give you a moment to find that on page 65. Are you ready? Okay. Let's pray then. You spoke, O God, and there was light. You spoke creation into being, and you spoke your word into Scripture. Both are lights that guide us. Guide us now as we marvel at your creation and listen for your word. Amen. And I always pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this lesson as we did some years ago in our studies. Consistently, I would come and talk about the artwork that was provided at the very beginning of the lesson. Usually, on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see today, on the beginning of Lesson 7, you'll see some artwork, a photo that's given to us that someone has drawn. And you'll notice in this particular artwork that in the background there is the image of the earth. And note that it's an early geologic time in the earth's existence. It shows the time in which the earth was almost one big supercontinent that was once called Pangaea. It was a time before the platelets, the tectonic platelets, began to shift in the earth and the continents pulled away from one another. It is an image the author would have us note of a time in which people and animals all dwelled together in one massive, massive continent. One that was unbroken. And then you will note in front of the earth in that artwork, you will see the branch from a tree with some heart-shaped leaves or flowers. I am told this is called the bleeding heart plant. I'll have to look that up and study that. So the heart-shaped leaves are supposed to illustrate that our hearts are bleeding, our hearts are breaking, our hearts are lamenting, because the situation in the world is that the earth is now torn into many parts. People are divided. Animals, all creation, and people live in hostility often to one another. We are not the stewards, the good stewards that God once put in place as we could be. And that is the cause of lament. And she gives us that art to begin to think about the lesson that we're launching into now. I want to remind you, at the very bottom of that artwork, I almost forgot, there is a particular vase, and this is supposed to be a vase. It has two handles, you can see. It's the kind of vase that was used in mixing things together, I'm told. The author, Lynn Miller, would like us to think about this in terms of how plants and animals and life in general were all once just mixed together. And when one suffers, one part of life suffers, all life suffers. And so remember those images as we go through and read the text and hear about the earth lamenting and groaning even now. And so that's the artwork for this lesson. I like to begin using the two questions that the author gives us on page 65. She lists them at the bottom there of the page. They're helpful questions, just like last month, very similar to last month. But she asks the first question, what are the places in creation that call upon you to praise God? Is there one place in particular that does that? One place over all others that you would like to go even today? I can think back growing up in the hills of Tennessee in that little town near Chattanooga, and there were some great mountains there, Lookout Mountain, Signal Mountain. And around the little town I grew up, there were mountains. It was the Lookout Mountain Ridge that ran along into our little town of Soddy Daisy. And it was there as a boy with other boys, we would climb up the creek beds all the way to the top of the mountain. It was beautiful. I remember laying in that water. It was so cold, but so refreshing in the hot sun. I think about that image often, those Tennessee mountains. That's an image of a place that causes praise to come forth in me, praise to God. Often, like in the last 10 or 15 years, Honeymoon Island, especially before they replenished the beach there, I would go out to Honeymoon Island, usually Thursday on my day off, and would go out there early in the morning and walk out into that shoreline from the beach. And at that point, before they replenished the beach, it was very rocky, almost dangerous. There was so much coral in the water, and you had to stumble along to get out deep enough to find the sand. But hardly anyone would come out there. They would walk along and go out to the end of the quay looking for shells, but no one would come into the water. And so I got to be there all by myself in water about waist deep as I was fishing and watching the manatees pass, and it was such a peaceful time. And I think about that Honeymoon Island often is a place that causes forth, again, praise to God from me. Such a beautiful part of the creation. And then she asked the question that's in contrast to the first one. What situations in the natural world call upon you to lament? I mentioned one last week about all the towns and the homes that were lost in California over the last year and a half through the fires. The great fires that burned for so long and that were so dangerous from the high winds, that was a cause of lament for many people. I can think that any time we lose one of the an animal in the animal kingdom to extinction, that's a cause for lament in the natural world, the created order. I'm thinking this morning because I watched it on 60 Minutes about a year and a half ago about a new continent that has emerged about this, a third of the size of the United States out in the Pacific Ocean. It is a continent that consists of an accumulation of plastic waste in the ocean, and it just swirls around in the currents way out past Hawaii to the west. And the plastic there in the ocean, it continues to break down into small pieces, into microparticles, and the waste forms a kind of plastic toxic soup that's almost invisible to the naked eye, but is damaging much of sea life that is there. And so that is a cause for great lament for me to think about the oceans being treated in that way, and about the waste, the plastic that continues to be poured into the ocean. Well, think about that. What are situations that call forth praise in you to God in the created order, places you would like to go? And then what are causes of lament in the natural world, the creation? Lynn Miller, the author, gives us two scriptures to focus on today. The first scripture reading on which the lesson focuses is Isaiah 24, some selected verses, the first one beginning at verse 4. I want to read this particular passage in Isaiah and pause just a couple of times to provide commentary that she would remind us of. And so let me read Isaiah 24, 4 to 6, verse 8, and then verse 19. Listen now to God's holy word to us in our study. Isaiah writes, "The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish together with the earth." Before I move on to verse 5, the author wants us to note that the Hebrew word here, the phrase dried up, can also be translated mourns. Dries up and withers sounds straightforward. But when you translate it from the Hebrew and say, if you just say dries up and withers, the plant dried up and withered because there wasn't enough water, that's straightforward. But if you say the phrase, the earth mourns and withers, it implies that someone perhaps could have done something about it. Isaiah continues, verse 5, "The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant." Again, Lynn Miller asks us to note here in verse 5 that the earth's problems, which are mentioned, are due to those who inhabit it. The inhabitants have transgressed, violated, and broken those things that were put in place to protect the earth. I read now the rest of Isaiah 24, beginning at verse 6. "Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth dwindle, and few people are left. The mirth of the timbrels is stilled, the noise of the jubilant has ceased, the mirth of the lyre is stilled. The earth is utterly broken, the earth is torn asunder, the earth is violently shaken." We move on then to our second focus scripture, which is from Romans 8. I want to read it into its entirety before commenting on it this time. Romans 8, beginning at verse 19. "For the creation," writes Paul, "the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." Verse 22, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." The passage here in Romans calls our attention to the fact that all of creation wants and awaits to be restored. Not because of anything it did wrong, but because it was cursed when God confronted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And brokenness came about in the world. The whole creation, we are told here in verse 22, is groaning in labor pains. What an image that is. And all of creation waits. And we as human beings, we too wait to be set free. To be set free as Christians in our faith from the coming of Christ in His fullness and the coming of His kingdom in its fullness. That He will redeem creation and all humankind. We wait and we hope. And while we wait and hope, we groan and we lament for this time of the fullness of God's kingdom to come. And so creation, Miller reminds us, has been lamenting since the very beginning from Adam and Eve's sin to the time in which Abel's murder by his brother Cain sets in a pattern that continues again and again in the Old Testament. Even in the murder of Abel, we are told that his blood cries out from the earth for redemption and justice. God, we are reminded, hears this first lament of Abel's murder from the ground. Two things then I want to share before we conclude this morning. First, on page 69, Lynn Miller issues us a challenge. She asks us to practice lament by choosing a creation-related issue or an animal, and from that perspective, to write a prayer of lament from that animal's perspective or a creation issue. She reminds us how to do this in page 69 by using the common elements of lament that she has done in each chapter. And so I challenge you, the Presbyterian women in this church, or those that are watching elsewhere, to send to us a prayer that you have written from the point of view of a creation issue or an animal or something else in creation, and let us read it next month and put it in our publications. I encourage you to do that. The second thing I want to share with you is this vision that Lynn Miller invites us to consider at the conclusion of this lesson 7. The vision of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. You are likely very familiar with this passage where the prophet Isaiah foretells the coming of God's kingdom in its fullness. And when that happens, it will be like this in verse 6 of chapter 11. The prophet Isaiah writes, "The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child, a little child, shall lead them." She reminds us also not only of prophet Isaiah in chapter 11 and this great vision, but of a painting by Edward Hicks, a Quaker Christian, that is listed on page 70. We considered this last summer in worship here. It is the image that Edward Hicks paints of the peaceable kingdom. It is a portrayal of Isaiah 11. And of course, Edward Hicks, I am told, he painted over 80 versions of this particular vision of a peaceable kingdom. The animals at peace, led by a child, a Christ child image. And if you study, as I mentioned in worship last August, if you study those paintings, you will notice that over the period of years, as Edward Hicks grew older, he became more and more disappointed of the conflicts in his age. The predators in his later paintings look more and more ferocious. It is all the child can do in some of the more recent paintings that he did to hold the animals back from one another. The painting by painting, the miracle of peace looks harder and harder to achieve. But he kept painting that vision of Isaiah 11, and we should keep praying for that vision to break into the world of a peaceable kingdom. There is a side story in that painting by Edward Hicks of William Penn in the background making a treaty with a particular tribe of Indians in this country. And that is a story for you to read further about. It's a story even where in this earth, the kingdom does not come to fulfillment without effort. It's hard to get it right. It's hard to entrust ourselves to this vision when there are so many adversaries in the world that are so very deadly. It is like the comedian who once said, "The lion and the calf shall lie down together, but the calf won't get much sleep." We get it. We know what that means. Christ has called us to pray for peace, to be good stewards of the earth, to work and live as peaceable as we can be with one another. But we live in a world in which, while God's kingdom has broken in Jesus Christ, it has not come to its fullness in Christ's return and the full reign of God. And so we live in between times, the time in which Christ has broken in and promises redemption of all creation and all people, and the time in which he will fully come again. But we know very well that the peaceable kingdom has not yet come as God wills it to come, but it's coming. We can almost see it on the horizon. We know that one day it will indeed come in its fullness as God has promised. And so I ask you now to turn in your booklets to page 70 as we join together in the closing prayer of chapter 7, lesson 7. I'll give you a moment to turn there. And on page 70, let us pray together saying, "Creator God, when you made this world, you knew it was good. May we be stewards of your creation in such a way that everyone may see its goodness now and into the future. In Jesus' name, amen." I invite you to join us next month for Lesson 8. There are only two more lessons, Lesson 8 and Lesson 9. Lesson 8 will be live streamed here at 11 o'clock a.m. on April the 1st, Maundy Thursday. And appropriate it is for that week. That lesson is entitled God Laments. And so I see you on April the 1st for Lesson 8, followed by one more lesson after that as our study comes to a conclusion in May. The Lord bless you and keep you. Stay safe. Amen.